Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts. With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within on what the future of AI should be. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman. From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing, the chaos that followed, and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world. Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts, with shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Wondery means business.
Get one of the most successful broadcasts in television history on your schedule with the 60 Minutes podcast. Hard-hitting investigative reports, news, and culture maker interviews and in-depth profiles are waiting for you in every episode. Listen to 60 Minutes every Sunday wherever you get your podcasts.
Or as they say in Letterkenny, chorin. Call it chorin. Yes. That child had chorin to do and he didn't.
Didn't do any chores. Hey, everybody, it's Kai Rizal. It is Wednesday, Make Me Smart Daily Edition. It's a midweek pause. Molly and I try to make today make sense. We'll take some questions. We got some things to say, too, some remarks to make, some thoughts to share. Because stuff, you know, stuff. Today was a day, actually, right?
Many things occurred today. Yeah. Remember when we were talking about how sometimes you're on Twitter and it makes you think that like too many things are going on when in fact not that many things are going on? Today was not one of those days. All the things that were going on were real things. And actually, you know what? I feel like I owe our listeners an apology because yesterday when we were having that conversation about how there were only like one or two stories and maybe just one, this part of my brain was pinging and that part of my brain was like, no, there's race. Right. There's still Black Lives Matter and the question of equity in this country. And I felt like people rightly called me out on Twitter and I felt bad about it because I thought of it and I didn't say it, which is always a mistake. But also it's a particularly cruel week to not have said that considering, you know, right now, considering the shooting that we opened the week with, considering the, you know, I mean, I think what many media outlets are describing as pretty open racism that's on display every night in the Republican National Convention. And now today we're just, and you know, a 17-year-old white supremacist apparently shooting two protesters in Wisconsin. And so I'm sorry, you guys, that was a mistake. And
nicely done. Well done. And look, it comes on a day when, and this is the thing we've been pinging about on Slack all afternoon, the whole NBA thing and the Milwaukee Bucks and the all-team meeting and all of that stuff, the game not being played because the Bucks wouldn't take the floor, and then the Magic saying, that's fine, we're not going to take the forfeit, and everybody's talking about it. And then the Milwaukee Brewers game is not going to be played tonight in MLB. There's just a – there are things happening, and as the Associated Press points out, and Kimberly put this in the Slack – happening on the fourth anniversary of the first day that Colin Kaepernick protested at an NFL game. So there's a certain rhyme to history here that resonates, unfortunately, right? Because it's just all just, Also, it's been 4 years since Colin Kaepernick started this, if you can believe that.
It feels simultaneously like not even a minute and way longer than that, you know?
Yeah. And there was a thought we should, you know, full disclosure, right? We've always been totally honest with people on this podcast. There was some back and forth on Slack about whether we should just do the whole show on this. Mm-hmm. My thought was, I don't think we know enough because it's a developing story. The NBA players are meeting this evening, like in 2 more hours. So who knows what's going to come out of that? And I think better to just mark it and observe it and you know, share our thoughts on it and then maybe move on. And then maybe tomorrow we do something. I mean, because this story is going to be around for a while.
And we didn't want to. Yeah. I mean, obviously we're talking about it and we knew we were going to talk about it. And there's a lot to say. And it is, you know, my brother made the point that as of right now, it's three NBA games that were scheduled to be played tonight. We don't know what's going to come out of that meeting, but we know that people had questions that we couldn't answer. And we try not to, do that. We try not to make Tony do all the work.
Just the appropriate amount of work.
With that in mind, no, we'll probably be talking about this all week, and we should be. And we are going to do a relatively regular What Do You Want to Know Wednesday about all the other insane things that are happening in the world right now. All right.
We start with Michael McCartney. He wrote in to ask about President Trump's executive orders to provide some economic relief while Congress continues to not pass anything. Let's just refresh people's memories, right? Congress bailed on their negotiations. The president that weekend said, oh, I'm going to do a bunch of executive memoranda that, among other things, will give people some unemployment benefits. It's not clear how the president plans to pay for that. Actually, it is. He's going to take the money from FEMA. And oh, by the way, there's a hurricane
real bad
coming.
Timing.
But anyway, and so Michael's question is, it's been more than a week since Trump signed executive orders to extend unemployment benefits. Has anybody received a check yet? So this is a little complicated, right? Because states have to opt into the program and they have to do a bunch of other things to make people get it. Arizona is the only state that has started paying out checks. The governor of California, Gavin Newsom, said yesterday or 2 days ago that Californians are soon going to start getting those checks. But in terms of cash on hand, one state out of the 30 that have signed on.
Yep. So FEMA is picking up the tab for an additional $100 per recipient.
Right.
Because state said, initially, I think in the executive order, I really like it when you say memoranda, by the way. That's a super fancy word. it's just delightful. It always like sounds so, you know, I don't know. It's very official sounding. I don't think we should overstate this thing about FEMA. And maybe that's a further episode because we got to look. I don't think we should overstate how problematic it is.
At a time when an area the size of the Grand Canyon has burned
in California and and what they're calling an unsurvivable hurricane.
I know.
Is headed for the Gulf Coast.
Unsurvivable storm surge. You're like, oh my God. Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
And that is all the stuff they said before Katrina. And as we know.
Yeah. I know a woman who just moved to New Orleans to do graduate school. And I'm like, you got to get out of there. Yeah.
Oh no. But anyway, yes. Yeah. So the short answer is not very many checks have actually gone out. And the long answer is if they do start going out, it's actually kind of bad. It's kind of like maybe not a good it's not a good solution. I think we can all agree that an executive memorandum in this case, because it was only singular,
just one.
is not a lasting solution.
Yes.
Okay. Next.
Okay.
Up. A voice memo. Next up, Rebecca Eklund has a voice memo for us, and it goes like this.
Hey, Kai and Molly. This is Rebecca from Baltimore. My question is about testing. So I teach at a university, and one of the reasons that we decided to go fully online in the fall, not the only reason, but one of the reasons was because our provider, who was going to do testing for us, said that they could only turn around tests in 4 to 5 days, which is obviously way too slow. So what I'm wondering is why these delays? Thanks so much for making me smart. Love hanging out with you guys a little bit at the end of every day.
Rebecca, that's awesome. That's awesome.
I know that is awesome. Too. Thank you. And that's a really nice way to think about it, too. Like, you made it through the day. We're chilling. Don't even get me started on testing.
Reward. Yes. No, go. Now you got to go. This is your thing. This is your category here.
Testing is a thing that I am a little bit obsessed about. And there have been studies just recently that say that essentially the testing in this country is at this point so slow that it is clinically useless or close to clinically useless. The main problem, of course, is just like volume and the fact that we didn't do the things that we could have done, like the Defense Production Act or figuring out logistics and supply chains to create more, ameliorate the shortages of things like the test tubes. Remember when we had Lauren Wold on, he talked about the little glass tubes that swabs have to go in. The swabs themselves, the reagents, those chemical ingredients, all of those are in the same amount of shortage that they were in before. And there's been no attempt to shore up those supply chains or supplies. California actually announced just today, I think, that it's just going to go ahead and build its own lab, basically. Just say, like, you know, we're going to just try to spin up our own. And I think there were other, like, other states have formed partnerships to try to improve testing. And has basically said, and then actually Governor Newsom yesterday on the show, I talked about how the CDC is de-emphasizing testing. And then even today, the CDC issued new guidance that said, if you are asymptomatic, even if you've been in contact with someone who has tested positive, you might not need to actually get a test. Which, knowing what we know about how much asymptomatic people are spreading the virus, made a whole bunch of public health officials issue a large, loud WTF. I mean, there are, you know, there are cynical interpretations to the fact that the numbers look great right now, because it looks like numbers are on the decline. But so is testing.
Yeah. It's a capacity thing. It's a capacity thing.
But ultimately, yes, the short answer to your very specific question, capacity.
Yeah. All right, Beryl Kaminsky. Oh. I love that name, Beryl. She wants to know this. The Dow Jones Industrial Average announced that ExxonMobil is no longer going to be part of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Please explain what this means and the significance for the company, its stock, and the investors. So let's see. A couple of things. Number one, the Dow is 30 companies, and for a whole lot of really technical reasons, most of which involve Apple, they had to rejigger things. And one of the ways they did that was replacing ExxonMobil with a company called Salesforce. So that gets more tech into the Dow, which is really good for the Dow in terms of its level, right? Because Salesforce is doing really well, and you want if you run the Dow, you want the Dow to be up where everybody else is, right? Here's the catch, though. The Dow is 30 companies. It's not an especially broad index. It's not especially a dispositive in terms of what's going on with the economy. If you really want to know what's going on with the economy, you look at something called the S&P 500 index. And when companies get added to the S&P 500, what happens is that a lot of funds and a lot of retirement accounts and all of those have to buy the buy those companies because they have to match the S&P index in performance. That does not exist with the Dow, right? There aren't that many funds that track the Dow. So really, it's not that big a deal except for this prestige. The Dow Industrials is the biggie, it's the granddaddy, and so if a company could say, hey, I'm in the Dow, that's yay for them for a little while. As Jim Cramer from CNBC put it, and Jim has many flaws, but he does cut to the chase sometimes, he said it's a nice thing for companies to be able to write home and tell their moms about, and that's about it.
Huh. But does it?
So that's that.
So it did happen. So Salesforce, Amgen, and Honeywell got to be in the Dow, and Exxon, Pfizer, and Raytheon didn't because they don't. They're not doing as well? Is it performance-based?
Yeah, fundamentally, right? It's effective next Monday. And the deal is that, I don't want to get too far down in the weeds, but the Dow is a price-weighted index. In other words, companies that have higher stock prices can disproportionately affect the value of the index. And what happened was that Apple got Apple, the Apple company, right, got super, super valuable. And then it announced a 4-for-1 stock split, which would have cut its stock price by 4, right? By a factor of 4.
Right.
And that would have reduced the value of the Dow, and that would have caused all kinds of problems. So the people at S&P Dow Jones Indices said, no, 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 that can't be. So let's rejigger things. And that's what they did.
Hmm. Super interesting. Okay, good question. Yeah. I like it. And then, let's see, Trump has said that if he gets reelected, he will permanently eliminate the payroll tax. That has a lot of people worried. We got a tweet from, I just want to hurry up and get to the part where Kai just shouts about it. Anyway, Twitter user Rant While. I love that Twitter handle, by the way, because that's my jam. Rant the while away. While the rant's away. Who asks, what happens if my Social Security money goes to zero? Because what people realize, and there was, like, I think a report that came out that said that if this went away, then Social Security benefits would run out soon, like 2023.
Yes.
And he says, okay, well, what happens if that happens? A, will I still have to pay into it? And what happens to my money? Kai, go.
So look, as with many things with Donald John Trump, the president of the United States, when he says things, often they are not true. And he cannot get rid of the payroll tax. He can't do it. I know he wants to, but he can't. What he has done, effective 1 September, and I am, oh, by the way, for anybody in American public media who happens to be listening to this, still waiting for what our company is going to do with this. But on September the 1st, companies can, if they so choose, stop withholding Social Security taxes from people's paychecks. It's about 6.2%. Okay? Be a little tiny bump in everybody's paycheck. But the taxes will still be due come tax day next year because the president doesn't have the authority to change the tax code by himself. So this inane thing that he says about how he's going to get rid of the payroll tax, he has to get both houses of Congress to agree to it. And I promise you, I will bet you a year's salary, truly, that even if the Republicans take the House and they hold the Senate and Trump wins again, nobody is going to pass a tax code that gets rid of the Social Security tax.
Yeah.
Will not happen. So that's
no,
it's nonsense.
I think that's absolutely
but look,
true. No one
if,
wants to.
If money does go to zero, then, you know, we're all, you know, living on the streets anyway. So the least of the problems you have is what's going to happen to your paycheck, truly.
If money goes to zero, what now?
If the
Oh, Social Security money goes to zero.
If Social Security's trust fund goes to zero, we've all got
a boatload
of other
problems.
I lost
the thread for a second. Oh, yeah, totally. No, then, I mean, then talk about people in the street. Yeah, somebody was like, I'll just have to drag my starving old self into the streets if my, because they said disability insurance would also be depleted by 2021.
That is correct.
Yeah, that's not, I mean, no politician who wants his or her job is ever going to let that happen. So,
my favorite part about Social Security, by the way, used to be on paychecks that if you ever read your pay stub, which for most people today doesn't happen because it's direct deposit. Social Security taxes used to be filed under something called OASDI, Old Age and Survivors Disability Insurance. So there you go.
Oh, really?
That's what that was all about. Yeah. Old Age Survivors and Disability Insurance. Anyway, random factoid. That's what I got.
That's a good one. and seems like a perfect place to end our daily show.
Yes,
and look at that,
trivia.
You guys. 15 minutes. Amazing, friends. Send your questions and your comments to makemesmart@marketplace.org. We will be back tomorrow with Hollowed Out Shell Thursday.
Hollowed Out Shell of a Thursday, which it sort of feels like we've gotten a head start on already. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson. Tony Wagner is our digital producer. Ben Heathcote is our video producer. Ethan Parrots is our video intern. Erica Phillips writes our newsletters and those skills on your smart speakers that you hear me and Molly do.
Today's program was engineered by Charlton Thorpe, and bless him, he waited until exactly 3:30 to start that music, which was composed by Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez. Bridget Bodner is a senior producer, why thank you, and the executive director of On Demand and all the cool things lately is Sitara Nieves. I've literally been listening to Million Bazillion, like, on my dog walk.
No, it's good stuff. Good stuff.
I like that my kid's too old for it, but I'm not. I mean, he's not too old for it, but he thinks he is. He's so 13.
Well, he's just got to go clean his room. He's got to go clean his room.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. No, he is up there doing that right now.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.